Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Well, the morning's so bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as bright as a day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, shall lay down by the Lamb. And the beast from the wilds shall be led by a child. I'll be changed from this creature that I am. There will be peace in the valley for me. There will be peace in the valley for me. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. There will be peace in the valley.
A Thomas A. Dorsey tune, Peace in the Valley, sung by Dan Lee with backing vocals, Philo Schrock and Matt Gingrich. That is from a CD called Fence Rows by a group that calls itself the Gunny Sack Review. The Gunny Sack Review is a weekly musical gathering that happens every Wednesday evening in Arthur, Illinois, at the Yoder Center, starting at 7 o'clock and usually runs for at least a few hours. And this has some really nice stuff on it. Hope you enjoyed it here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local performances. Coming up on today's show, we will be visiting with all three of the high school band directors at the three high schools in Champaign-Urbana, the three public high schools in Champaign-Urbana, Central, Centennial in Champaign, and Urbana High School Concert Bands. They are all going to be performing on a concert that is happening this Saturday at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. It's being presented by the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music at the University of Illinois. The program called Under American Skies, Celebrating Our Musical Community on Granny's Porch. Granny's Porch being an annual event that the Center for American puts on at the Virginia, always focusing, as you might expect, on American music of some kind or another. Well, I should say nearly always focusing on American music. So that's segment coming up here on Live and Local. Meanwhile, I'll be playing a few CDs from our collection of mostly local performers, but also others who have come through our area. One of the local performers represented happens to be involved in a performance that happens pretty regularly at the Iron Post in Urbana, and it's coming up tomorrow. The Stevens Spencer Gray Jazz Trio with Chip Stevens, the pianist, Joel Spencer, the drummer, and Larry Gray, the bassist. This particular recording happens to come from Larry Gray. He calls it Solo Plus Quartet, and this is from about 20 years ago, actually, 1993. And I noticed that Larry's picture looks quite a different than the Larry Gray, quite a bit different from the Larry Gray that I know. Nonetheless, Joel Spencer also involved in this particular recording. So Larry Gray on bass, Edward Peterson on saxophones, Joel Spencer on drums, Mike Coker on the piano. And this tune is one of Larry Gray's own. It's called Baby Cynthia's Waltz. Thank you. Baby Cynthia's Waltz by Larry Gray, who was the bassist in that recording, along with saxophonist Edward Peterson, drummer Joel Spencer, and pianist Mike Coker. Larry Gray and Joel Spencer will be joined by Chip Stevens, all three on the jazz faculty at the University of Illinois. They have a gig tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. Later on at the Post, it'll be, I just billed here as a jazz jam, so I don't know who's going to be joining in on that. That'll be at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program is made possible by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to experience delicious specials, fair trade coffee, and your favorite treats at the Intermezzo Cafe. More information about upcoming events is on krannertcenter.com. And upcoming on today's Live and Local, we'll be talking about a concert happening at the Virginia Theater this Saturday, featuring the Champaign Central and Centennial High School band directors. Well, rather, the concert will feature the bands and also Urbana High School's concert band. And we'll have all the band directors joining us on the program today to talk about their programs and that concert. Here's a recording featuring another of the U of I jazz faculty members. He's trombonist Jim Pugh. And we had these two guys on the show, it's been at least 3, if not 4 years now, these two guys being Jim Pugh and another trombonist from Japan named Eijiro Nakagawa. They simply call themselves E and J as a duo. They've got a number of recordings out. And this is their rendition of Thelonious Monk's tune called Epistrophe. Thank you. It's music by Thelonious Monk called Epistrophe. That was an arrangement by Eijiro Nakagawa, who was one of the two trombonists on that recording, the other one being Jim Pugh of the University of Illinois faculty, and they call themselves as a duo, E and J. They were joined here by, I forgot to pull out the CD to see who else was on here, and I'll tell you it was a pianist Andy Ezrin, bassist John Patitucci, and drummer John Riley from their CD simply called E and J Trombone Duo here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our next segment is about a concert happening locally on Saturday, specifically at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign, wonderfully restored venue. Annually, there has been a concert for some years now called Granny's Porch, and it takes various guises from year to year. It's always presented by the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music at the University of Illinois, as this one is. And this year called Under American Skies, Celebrating Our Musical Community on Granny's Porch. And this one is really unique in the series of Granny's Porch programs. It's going to feature all three of the high school bands in Champaign-Urbana, Urbana High School and Champaign Central and Champaign Centennial bands. And we have on today's program all three of the directors of those bands on the program, as well as Scott Schwartz of the Sousa Archives. Here is a performance by the Champaign Centennial High School Band of a piece called Olympica by Jan Vanderroost. It's under the direction of Mike Allen here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Obviously, a live performance by the Champaign Centennial High School Symphonic Band under the direction of Mike Allen. Music by Jan van der Roost called Olympica. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The Centennial High School Band will be one of three bands participating in a concert this Saturday at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. It's called Under American Skies, celebrating our musical community on Granny's Porch. And we have with us on the program today Mike Allen himself and also the band directors of the other two public high schools in Champaign-Urbana. John Curry directs the Champaign Central High School, and Darren Hicks directs the Urbana High School band program, and actually, for that matter, Darren directs essentially the music program throughout the Urbana schools. And I don't know if the other two of you guys have similar positions or not. No, and
I do the orchestra.
I know John Curry does the orchestra also at Champaign Central.
I have help though. Mrs. Curry helps.
Mrs. Jennifer Curry, who's the co-director of the bands there. Well, before we give a little overview of what Granny's Porch is, because it's an annual event at the Virginia Theater put on by the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, let me ask you, Mike, about that piece. Olympica implies something having to do with the Olympics, yes or no?
Just very festive, very uplifting, very exciting piece of music. Jan van der Roost's music is very fun to play. The kids love it, and there's a lot of meat and potatoes to it. The kids really get to dig in and really get to hone their skills. There's a lot to work on in that, and a lot of fine details as well as a lot of very broad dynamics.
What does meat and potatoes mean to a high school band?
A lot of diatonic scales, a lot of work with 16th notes and fast patterns, a lot of tuning chords beyond just your basic 1-3-5 tritone, just your triad. You get more things like the tritones and the extended chords that really flex the very intelligent student's brain. We like to think that we have the best students in the school. They are incredibly intelligent, and a lot of this music really challenges them to understand exactly what is their role within the ensemble, exactly what note do they have in relation to all of the other members of the ensemble.
Well, since you mentioned intelligence in relationship to musicians, you know, it's often said in one way or another that music can enhance people's intelligence or another perception, perceptory, perceptive functions. And I'm just curious for all of you guys, do you have the sense that your students as music students, and obviously specifically instrumental students, wind instrumentalists as well as percussionists, are exceptional in some ways academically as well?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we also do really well in band is teaching leadership, student ownership, teamwork. Every single student is a starter, so to speak. Every student is out there, every student is equal, and every student is important. They all contribute and they all know their role and do their best at all times.
Darren Hicks directs the Urbana High School band.
I think it's a lot about how they learn within our classroom. I think that their learning styles then they can apply elsewhere. And I think within our classrooms, there's very much a team approach. We're working on one product and we understand that everybody's input is important to that. And I think that carries through to other classes that aren't run like ours, just the way they think about things and the way they focus on how to get a task done in a different class. I think they've learned a lot from our atmosphere.
John, do you think there is something about playing a musical instrument and particularly managing that in the course of an ensemble of some sort and that requires a student to be especially adept at not only academic things but also just generally juggling various aspects of life?
I'm not exactly sure if the instrument attracts the smart kids or if the smart kids are attracted to the music or you know, those kinds of things. But we do seem to have a number of students that function very well and end up getting great scores on ACTs. And I know I've had personally six or seven or eight kids get perfect scores in the ACT in the time that I've been at Central High School. So I know that we've had some very high functioning kids. I know that they do learn discipline, and when they're in our classes, I'm sure all of our classes, they learn expectations of what we expect, and they learn to do that in that situation. And I, as Darren said, I believe they can take that into their other classes or other situations in their life, and I think because they do that, they're better for it.
You mentioned learning discipline, and it seems to me from talking to various band directors over the years that band directors themselves have to be remarkably disciplined just in order to manage schedules and marching band and concert band and jazz band. And Mike, since I know you have to go, and this is sort of a case in point, you have to go because your band has a performance at 5 o'clock. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of directing a high school band, but then also what does your particular program consist of?
Well, to build on what John and Darren said, one of the things that I see in my students talking about the work that transfers over to other classrooms, from fifth grade or whenever they start on their instruments, they have to learn how to balance a calendar. They have to learn how to juggle multiple activities because these are the students who are the starters on any given team. They're the club leader, speech team leader. These are the students that are learning how to do multiple activities from fifth grade. So I think that learning that discipline of calendar balancing is part of the reason why they get such good grades, because they learn how to schedule their studying and practicing and still get to their different meetings and rehearsals and performances on time. And that translates to very high scores. Like John said, it's not uncommon for us to have a kid with a perfect score on an ACT. It's because they've learned from an early age how to really commit to something. We have four, about the program and what's happening tonight, we have four jazz groups playing at the mall in the food court. This is something that started as a tradition many years ago at Centennial, and it's a lot of fun. The kids and the parents come out and play in front of the fountain at the mall, Marketplace Mall. And we have two jazz combos and two jazz bands play. And then right after that, we're going to load a bus and come back and play for a home basketball game tonight. So this is an example of how these kids are working to balance that calendar. And I guarantee you, there's going to be a lot of them studying on that bus to and from, and they're going to do well at school tomorrow.
So how many of the kids in those jazz groups are also going to be playing the basketball band? You said basketball, right?
Yeah. There's probably about 30 that overlap. And there's going to be about 30 more, 40 or 50 more at Centennial starting at 6 o'clock while the jazz kids are finishing up at the mall. And then they'll join them for basketball at about 7 o'clock.
And then how many concert bands in the program?
We have two concert bands first semester and a beginning band class where kids, it's really exciting because kids at the high school level can join band for the first time. So they get started in mid-August, and then by the time winter break comes around, they've finished sixth and seventh grade level band, and then they can dive right into a concert band second semester. So first semester we have two bands of 60, 65 kids each, and then second semester we have three bands that then we break that down to 40 or so kids each. So that increases the teacher to student ratio and increases the responsibility on the individual student.
And you have auditions of some sort that determine who gets into what?
Yeah, and we get started with that right first couple weeks after break, believe it or not.
After this coming break?
Yeah, so in about a month. I'm going to be traveling to the middle schools and listening to the students so that we can place them in the appropriate bands so that they can have the best experience possible.
For next school year?
Yeah.
Yeah, fun. Everybody loves auditions, right?
Oh, yeah, the kids love it. They say, thank you, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I'll bet they do. And it's both your privilege, and I imagine to some extent your collective burden to listen to auditions, because ultimately you have to make decisions that sometimes you may not want to make, choosing one kid over another, which, as I say, must be fun, but also a challenge. Well, I know, Mike, you got to go. We'll let you go and make sure the bands have a leader when they get out to when they get out to the mall today. Mike Allen, director of the Champaign Centennial High School Symphonic Band. That group will be participating in the concert Saturday night at the Virginia Theater. It's called Under American Skies. That concert starts at 7:30. Thanks, Mike, very much.
Thank you.
Here is a performance by the other Champaign High School band, Central High School, under the direction of John Curry. This is a piece that will actually be on their, they'll be playing this on the concert on Saturday. This is music by Dmitri Shostakovich, simply called Prelude, Opus 34, number 14, if you want the complete specifics. And this was a concert given
Wednesday.
Just last Wednesday.
Yeah. On our 95-degree stage.
Another one of the trials of
hopefully we'll get a new school at some point.
At some point.
We keep crossing our fingers.
Yeah. Here's the Champaign Central High School Band, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by Dmitri Shostakovich, a prelude for band performed here by the Champaign Central High School Wind Symphony, conducted by John Curry. The co-director of the band is Jennifer Curry, and that band will be at the Virginia Theater, along with the Urbana High School Wind Symphony, Centennial High School Symphonic Band, Saturday for a concert at 7:30. A concert presented by the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music. Scott Schwartz is the director of the center and was on the show pretty recently to talk about American Music Month, which technically is November. This is a bit of an extension of that. Mm-hmm. Just real briefly, Scott, tell us about the annual Granny's Porch event, and why is it called Granny's Porch?
Granny's Porch, I grew up in, an old tradition where musicians in the community would form on the porch and play, join together. In Appalachia, it was very common. Grandpa would come out with his fiddle, play. Someone else would bring out the auto harp, and before you know it, you've got the whole community sitting on Granny's porch, playing, sharing music. So in part, the concert that we've done every year is to focus on local music, the tremendous music that we have in this community, and giving everyone an opportunity to hear it in all of its many colors.
What made you decide this year to diverge a little bit from that concept? I mean, usually the programs that I've seen or seen a list of what's going on, it's usually extremely diverse. It's sort of as you just described, you know, who might show up on Granny's porch. And you're not going to have a high school band on anybody's porch in all likelihood. What made you decide to undertake the what has to be a monumental task of pulling all these bands together for one concert?
Well, the monumental task is largely falls on the shoulders of the directors. I just help steer everybody to one place for one event. We do the Sweet Corn Festival every August. It's one community together, and we have the three high school marching bands play together. That is a tremendous hit with the community. And I thought, why not look at the concert bands, the other side of the high school band program? And so I thought, given the fact that SUSE played such a large role in terms of America's school band movement, and Harding and many others tied to the University of Illinois, why not do a concert highlighting the three bands? As it turns out, it's the very first time the three bands have played together. And more importantly, to play in the renovated Virginia. So I thought it was kind of a win-win.
Well, we'll talk about the notion of their playing together, because I've failed to mention that so far, but that will be an important element of the program. But you mentioned John Philip Sousa, and in the description for this concert that you sent out to the media, including myself, you have a quote here from Sousa in which he says, from November 1923, high schools will have to furnish the recruits for the musicians of tomorrow. And then a bit later, I hope to see the day when all high schools will have music as an elective course. Well, it's probably safe to say that a great many high schools across the country do have music in some form. Not all have instrumental music. Certainly not all have string programs anymore. But John Curry, Darren Hicks, tell me a little bit about your programs and how much music is offered.
Well, at our school, at Central, we have three separate concert bands that start day one. We do auditions for jazz bands starting day one, and we start basically the next week or so after that. We have three jazz bands, three jazz combos, three concert bands. As I mentioned behind the scenes, I also do the orchestra. I'm really proud of where they're coming and where they're going, and our numbers are increasing there. And then we have a volunteer marching band. This year we had 170 students in a volunteer marching band. And then on any given night for pep band, we'll have 100 kids show up. And this last game against Centennial was might have been the best high school basketball game I've ever seen. We went to triple overtime, and of course Central came out on top by one point.
You say, so. Of course. I wonder if they feel that way.
So it was very exciting, and you know, the opportunities for the kids to do practically anything in music is there. You know, the choral department is also very active. They just had their Madrigal dinner, and the drama department is very active, and they have two musicals coming up in the spring, and our kids get a chance to play in the musicals as well. So it's very active. Kids can be involved as much as they want or as little as they want.
Darren, as I mentioned earlier, you're actually, I forget what your title is, music coordinator or something?
Correct. Yes.
For the Urbana School District. What does that involve for you, and what are there other classes in music besides instrumental classes?
At the high school, let me first address the music coordinator. So I oversee the program at our middle school and high school, as well as our fifth grade program for strings and band. So kind of dealing with budgets and staffing and things like that. So I'm very fortunate that I know a lot of what's going on in the other buildings. So that's really good, because it kind of gives us a nice cohesive program all the way through. As far as the high school goes, very similar to what John was describing. Our program is not as big as far as the number of students involved. We have a couple of concert bands that meet from the very beginning of the school year. Our marching band is volunteer. From our band program, then we have a jazz band and a jazz combo. Our pep band is pulled from the band program. We have two orchestras, and we have two choirs that go on during the school day as well. And there's an a cappella group that meets before school also. So similar to what he said. And that there's lots of opportunities. We have a few students that are in several of those things. So we have band students who get to sing. So we have a couple of students who are singers that do some stuff with our marching band as well. Maybe they played before but don't have time in their schedule. So we have a lot of interplay there between the three programs. And then our music program is very involved with the theater program too. In fact, this year the two productions the drama is doing are both musicals. So we'll provide the pit orchestra for that, and a lot of our choir students, a lot of our band students are behind the scenes and things as well.
So plenty of opportunities, especially for instrumentalists, but also for the vocalists. When I was in high school in Pennsylvania, my particular school also had classes in ear training and theory. And I don't know if that was unique to the school or if that used to happen here and doesn't anymore, or does it?
Well, we actually did have music theory for a number of years, and the numbers were never huge. I think the biggest class I ever had was 10 or 11. But when you're holding it in my office, that's that's about all that can fit, or more than what can actually fit in there. The problem we have is with numbers, we need to have 18 students to make a class run in Champaign. And unfortunately, music theory has not had that luxury here in the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. Mm. Unfortunately, if the kids don't think it's going to run, they don't sign up for it, so then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, ultimately, I would have loved to see the two high schools right next to each other so we could combine four AP classes like that, so we could have classes like that run. But that I don't believe that's the direction that the district is going to go in. But I keep my fingers crossed that we can offer classes like that, because we did do it for about 8 years. While you
were there,
you've been
at the.
This is my 16th year at Central.
How long you been at Urbana?
This is my 10th year.
10th year, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember Mike. Do you know offhand?
I think this is his 7th year. I think he's been there a year longer than Jennifer's been at Central.
Yeah, and I know his brother was director of that same band some years ago, too. That doesn't happen very often, that sort of thing. Well, we're coming up towards the end of the hour already, and I do want to talk a little bit about the element of Saturday's concert that is, I mean, the concert already brings all the bands onto one stage, but this other element is going to bring at least many in all three bands into one band. Tell me a little bit about that. This is for a commissioned piece.
This was Archives commissioned a piece last year, basically to celebrate Sousa's as well as Harding's contributions to the school band movement in the United States. Officially starts in 1920. Early 20th century, most schools that had bands, you didn't get credit for it. And that doesn't come about until well into the 20s. So I wanted a work that would highlight that aspect. And part of that commission uses a very subtle phrase from Sousa's Thunderer as its core, and joins that in a very unique and interesting way. And we commissioned the work and want to give it to any school who wants to play. There's no charge. Anyone wants it can have it.
Benjamin Montalbano, the composer, who's he?
Benjamin was a composition student here. He is in San Francisco right now. We commissioned him to write this in his senior year, and he has quite a knack for composing, and we all liked it and asked him to do the work.
The Urbana High School Band will actually play Sousa's March, The Thunderer, on the concert. Darren, tell us briefly about that march and how it relates to your hearing and experiences rehearsing it to the commissioned work under American Skies.
It's one of Sousa's more popular ones. I try and do several marches a year, and this is just kind of one that we use in our – I use them as warm-ups. And this one is one the students really like really well. And when I found out that the commission piece was based on it, I thought it would be maybe a good thing to play on this concert. So I asked Scott about that, and he said that would be a good idea. So I was glad. I use the marches just to teach march style, which is something that is unique to bands. And I feel like a lot of times students don't get that experience, or a lot of programs don't do marches very often. So that's one of the focuses that I try and put every year is on march playing and different types of marches.
It often happens that there are transcriptions from the orchestral literature for band, not so often where there's transcription of the band literature for orchestra, but marches generally an example of that. So this is, as you say, this is the realm of the concert band. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that there is so much wonderful concert band work happening in the in Champaign-Urbana, and credit to all you guys and all of your predecessors and the successors who lead the programs in Champaign and Urbana, Centennial High School Band and Central High School in Champaign, and of course the Urbana High School Band. There is another high school in Champaign-Urbana, it should be said, and that's the University mm-hmm. Laboratory High School from the University of Illinois. They don't have a band, they have an orchestra. And so they're not included in this conversation. The concert is Saturday night at 7:30 at Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. It is a benefit concert, and proceeds will go to help fund each high school's band program. All three high schools participating in it. It's called Under American Skies, Celebrating Our Musical Community on Granny's Porch. I want to say thanks to you three. And Mike Allen, who had to leave, for joining us on the show today. And best luck with pulling this event off. It should be a great deal of fun for you and the students and for the audience.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. On tomorrow's show, I'll be talking with Chester Alwis, director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, and also with Stephen Altop, director of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, both of them giving annual holiday concerts coming up very soon. Our program is supported by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. We also have support from the Friends of WYLL and from a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Here's John Philip Sousa himself directing his own march called The Thunderer.